first of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thanks for making the effort to come and be in the Lord's house and worship with us today. We've been planning all week and working to prepare to make today awesome, and you guys have made it awesome already, so thank you for that. I'd like to open with a word of prayer, and we're going to continue today with the series that we just started last week that we're calling Under Construction. And so why don't we start with a word of prayer? We're going to do a quick review of last week, and then we're going to get into what I have for you this morning. So if you guys bow your heads with me, please. Father God, we come before you and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, God. We praise you and honor you. Lord, we're here because of you. We're here because we believe, God, that you're worthy of our effort. You're worthy of our making the effort to be here. And so, God, I pray now that you will meet us here in an amazing, amazing, life-transforming way. I pray for your presence to be realized in each one of us today. Lord, let us leave here today having had a true and powerful encounter with you and with your love and your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, this series is entitled Under Construction, and basically what we're doing is we're taking a look at how all of us are a work in progress. We should all have a sign around our necks that say Under Construction. And so today will be part two of this series. Last week's message, as we started this series, was entitled "Are You Ready?" And I shared with you a story that I met a lady at the gym, and we were just kind of talking, and she had said that she'd been to our church sometime way in the past or whatever, and I was like, "Hey, you should come back. You should come back to church." And she said, "I'm just not in that place in my life right now. I'm just not in that place in my life right now." And I mean, I didn't take that in a negative way. I thought, "Oh, that's really interesting the way that she put that." And it just really made me think about the fact that we don't do things, or we won't do things that we don't think we're ready for. We won't do things that we don't think we're ready for. And that readiness seems to go in stages. And so, as I thought about that, I really started thinking about how Jesus put his team together, the disciples. And I especially started kind of focusing in on Simon. His birth name was Simon, and then Jesus changed his name later to Peter, because Peter means rock, and Jesus knew that at some point in Simon's life, he was going to become rock solid. He was going to become a rock solid disciple of Jesus, but he wasn't at first. His name was Simon. And so I started looking at his life, and it made me have this question came up of, why would Simon leave everything? Why would he leave everything to follow Jesus? Because as we know, that's what he eventually did. But why? What would make him do that? What would make you or me or anyone literally leave everything to follow Jesus? Because that's what Jesus requires. And so as I began to study that, I stumbled upon a couple things, and I shared with you last week the stages that Simon went through. Because people think that Jesus just instantly said, "Hey, Simon, follow me," and he dropped everything, and you know, but that's not what happened. There were stages that he went through to get to that place, because Jesus was patient. Jesus is relentless. You may not like that, but he is. He's relentless. He doesn't take no for an answer. But it's a relentless love. He's patient. His love is what's relentless. He wants to be connected with you, and he's relentless about that. And he was relentless about that with Simon. But he also will answer a lot of the questions that you have, including the why question. And in Luke chapter 5, we saw how Jesus answered that question for Simon as he went through those stages to try to connect with him and to for Simon to finally get to the place where he would leave everything to follow Jesus. And in verse 8 of Luke chapter 5, we see the turning point, this miracle that happens. And it says that when Simon Peter saw this, and what Simon actually saw was that Jesus wasn't just a teacher. He was the Lord. He was the Lord Almighty. And that was the reason. That was why he would leave everything. Because he realized who Jesus truly is and who he was. And at that point, Jesus was basically able to say to him, "Now you see. Now you understand. So now, follow me." And it says that Simon dropped everything, and began to follow Jesus. And from that point on, his name was Peter. His name was no longer Simon. And so last week, you know, the big thing that we talked about was the fact that just like with Simon, we have to come to that place of believing that Jesus is worth building our whole life around. Because until you believe that, you're not going to really follow him. You may dabble. You may play patty cake. But you aren't going to truly follow Jesus until you believe that he's worth building your whole life around. Because that's what Jesus requires. In John 12, verse 26, Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me." He didn't say must visit me, must call me. He said, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And really, that's what we're about here. We believe that Jesus is worth building our whole lives around. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for that belief. I believe Jesus is worth building my whole entire life around. And so that involves stages, because all of us may not be in that place right now. We may just be investigating. Some of you may be at the first stage of that. Others of you may be at later stages. We're all in different places. We're all a work in progress. Amen. We're all under construction. Well, today, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I love football. I love football. So today's message is entitled Building Winning Teams. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to look at some keys to building winning teams. And just thinking about the game today, that how incredibly difficult it is to get to this game today for these two teams. Man, it's so difficult to get to the Super Bowl. Today, both teams are going to suit up around 70 players each, but behind them are dozens, coaches, medical staff, trainers, people that handle the equipment. Literally, the organizations for both teams number in the thousands. Can you imagine? You've got an organization of thousands of people who all have to work together to get to this goal, to win the trophy today. Can you imagine how difficult that is? Literally, thousands of people all having to work together, all having to be on the same team to reach this amazing goal, to win the trophy. So I started studying why certain teams are able to be more successful than others. You know, it's on a whole other thing. I was talking with Jason today, and he's wearing his Sacramento Kings jacket today proudly because they won a big game last night. He hadn't been able to wear that jacket the whole season, but but he knows what's up, you know. He may not be able to wear it again for a couple of months, you know. But he's got it on today, you know. And we were talking about, like, yeah, man, what an amazing thing. They won that game last night. That was amazing. You know, maybe it's a turning point for them and all of that. But why are some teams more successful than others? And so I started looking at this, and I was really surprised by what I found out. I was totally surprised. In fact, both teams today, their coaches almost sound the same. The players for both teams almost sound the same as far as the things that they talk about. When they're asked questions about, you know, tell us why this was a good year, why you were successful, what did you do, what's going on, and they pretty much all said the same stuff. They all seem to be focused on three basic things, and they're the same three things that the legendary coach Vince Lombardi talked about years and years ago back in the 60s. The same exact things. Let me read you this quote from Coach Lombardi. He said, there are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals and have plenty of discipline, but still don't win the game. Then you come to the third ingredient. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy and be saying to himself, if I don't block that man, Paul is going to get his legs broken. I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. The difference between mediocrity and greatness is the feeling these guys have for each other. What a surprise. Football players. I love you, man. Really? So I want to look at these three ingredients because I see these same three ingredients when Jesus put his team together. These same three ingredients are what we need for this team and for any other teams that you're involved on in your life. The same three ingredients. Ingredient number one, Vince Lombardi said, you have to know the fundamentals. You have to know the fundamentals, whether it's football, whether it's school, whether it's music, learning an instrument, whether it's your job, or whether it's your faith. Knowing the fundamentals starts with learning, training, practice, repetition. The two teams today that are playing have been in the classroom and on the practice field on an average of 5 days a week for the last 7 months. The New England Patriots coach, Bill Belichick, is famous for giving surprise pop quizzes to his players in random times and moments to see if they've memorized their playbook. When it comes to your faith, you guys know where I'm going with this. When it comes to your faith, do you know your playbook? Say amen or oh no. Do you know your playbook? How can you play the game? How can you win the game when you don't know your playbook? Our fundamentals that are in our playbook here at Celebration start with our five purposes. Do you know the five purposes? Do you know the five purposes of the church? Do you know the five purposes of this church? Discipleship, evangelism, fellowship, service, worship. Everybody take a look. It's right there. There's your cheat sheet right there. The fundamentals. But here's the thing. So often we are tempted, and no matter what the situation might be, we're tempted to want to skip the fundamentals and get to the exciting stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Let's skip the vegetables. Let's get to the dessert. Right? You know, it's funny. Whenever I have students, base students, it's interesting how we'll start off and I'm focusing them on the fundamentals of playing the instrument. And let's be honest, the fundamentals are boring. How many hundreds of times can you play a scale or play, you know, do certain technique exercises or things like that? It's boring, but it's necessary. Usually students come in and they immediately want to play like Stanley Clarke. I want to learn this song, and I heard on the radio, like, you can't even tune the instrument yet. How are you going to play the song, right? You want to get right, you want to skip all that and get right to playing. This really hurts, you know, can we, you know, yeah, that's part of the fundamentals. We want to skip the fundamentals and get right to the exciting stuff. But in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, the writer of Hebrews addresses this when it comes to our faith, because we tend to have this same attitude when it comes to our faith. We want to skip the fundamentals. We want to skip the five purposes, and we want to get right into the juicy stuff. I want to study the book of Revelation. I want to know when Jesus is going to come back. I want to know this. I want to get into eschatology. I want to know in deeper hermeneutics. I want to know all these things. And in verse 11, chapter 5, the writer says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." If you don't know the fundamentals, you're never going to get to the place of real meat of the word. Fundamentals. In the game today, and I can tell you, I can promise you this, in the game today, the team that blocks the best on offense and tackles the best on defense is going to win the game, because the fundamentals are incredibly important. Number two, the second ingredient that Coach Lombardi talked about was discipline. He said to be a winning team, you got to know the fundamentals, but you also have to have discipline. The Bible calls this self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 gives us the list of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's an evidence. The Holy Spirit is in you. God is working these fruits in and through your life. Self-control is one of those fruits. When it comes to the players in the game today, they're extremely, elitely disciplined in different areas of their lives in terms of what they put in their bodies, their training methods, their rest, their supplements, everything is, they're incredibly disciplined to be able to do the things that they do. But there's other areas of discipline, or personal discipline, or self-control that are important for all of us. How do you manage your life? How do you manage your emotions? How do you manage your mouth? All of those things involve self-control. Discipline is the second ingredient. The third ingredient, Coach Lombardi said, was caring for one another. And with this one, he said there's a lot of teams that have the first two ingredients. A lot of teams have, they know the fundamentals, they have discipline. But this third ingredient is the difference maker. And it's so interesting, when you look at this third ingredient of caring for one another, Jesus in John chapter 15, he talks about, he basically has a meeting with the disciples, with his team, and he's giving them his final instructions. And what I want to do is I want us to take a look at three aspects of caring for one another, what caring for one another really looks like, both in the game today, with the teams today, but also with us, based on what Jesus taught. The first thing that caring for one another looks like is connection. There's connection. Connection is, there's a conscious decision, to be committed to one another. A conscious decision to be committed to one another and to develop closeness with one another, which involves trust. In John 15, starting at verse 9, this is what Jesus said to the disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Jesus uses the word remain three times in this passage. Anytime in Scripture you see something mentioned three times, it's there for a reason. God is trying to speak to you and tell you, hey, pay attention to this. This is something that's incredibly, incredibly important. Jesus uses that word three times. Remain. Stay connected. Stay with me. Stay close to me. Just like I stay close to the Father. I'm with him. I'm connected. Caring for one another always involves connection. A commitment. It's one of the expectations that we have for members of our church. It's one of the first things that we talk about is connection, relationship, that we need to be together. And in this time where Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's saying, I'm about to leave. You're my team. This is the way I want my team to look. this is what's important for my team, for you to be successful. Stay connected. He also uses the word love or loved 7 times in that passage. Seven times he uses the word love or love. Remain. Love. Stay connected. So I'm looking at this, and then I see this interview with Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots. And listen to what he says in describing his team. He said, guys really enjoy being around each other. Go out to practice every day. Come in and can still joke and laugh and the rivalries and the fun. You develop a certain closeness to these people. They're emptying the tank. You're emptying the tank. And you develop that trust in one another that you'll do it for one another. It's the same thing. It's John 15, 9 through 12. Remain. Remain in my love. Care for one another. Stay connected. The second aspect of caring for one another is consideration. There's connection. But with connection, there must also be consideration. Which means there's a conscious decision to not just think about yourself, but to put others on your team first. That's consideration. John 15, starting at verse 15, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Consideration. Jesus said, by the way, guys, I no longer call you servants. I'm considering you to be my friends because I've given you access to everything. I've thought this through about you. You have earned the place. You have earned the right for me to give all of this to you. There's consideration. Jesus was always thinking about them. He wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't focused on, well, you know what, guys, I am Jesus, you know. And it was always about others. So then I read this interview from a guy named Patrick Chung, who plays safety for the Patriots. Listen to what he says. We play for each other. You play for the person next to you. I can go home, and if I have a problem, I can call one of my teammates and talk to them. These are my brothers. If something happens to them, it happens to me. And that's vice versa. Our locker room is filled with good guys, not just a bunch of people doing a bunch of nonsense. Brotherhood. That's consideration. I'm playing for the guy next to me. I'm playing for the team. I'm not playing for myself. I'm not doing this for me. There's consideration. And then the third aspect of caring for one another is reliance. There's connection. There's consideration. And then there's reliance. There's a conscious decision to lean on one another, to ask for help when you need it, and to be ready to help someone when you get called upon. John 15, starting at verse 12, Jesus said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then I read the coach for the Atlanta Falcons, his name is Dan Quinn. He said this about his team. He said, "This team is so tight, and the accountability they have for one another is so strong. They totally rely on one another. This brotherhood is so strong. They care about one another. They're playing for something bigger than themselves. So for this team, for this group, I totally trust them." Both teams, they're all saying the same thing. We care about each other. We love each other. We're doing this for each other. We're in this together. Then I heard watched an interview with Rick Hendrick, who is the owner of CEO of Hendrick Motorsports and a NASCAR team. And actually, it's interesting. Rick Hendrick has four cars, and you would think that each one would be out for themselves, but they're all part of one team. Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, Casey Kane, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. are all part of one team. And Rick Hendrick is over all of that. He says that the key to their success as a team is for everyone in the organization to believe that they're stronger together. Imagine that. Four guys racing against each other, but yet they're all on the same team. They have a staff meeting every Tuesday. They're all together. All their teams all meet together. They talk through everything together. And then Rick Hendrick said this: "We have to lean on each other because you can't sink half a ship. You can't sink half a ship. Either the whole ship sinks or the whole ship floats. But you can't sink half a ship." And I thought about us as a church, all of our different ministries and areas and things that are going on. If one part of our church sinks, we all sink. One ministry sinks, we all sink. So for Rick Hendrick, for this team, he said literally, if one of our four teams is having a hard time, everyone rallies together around that team to help them. Because that's their mantra. You can't sink half a ship. We're all in this together. And as the church, we are all in this together. If you are having a problem, then that means I'm having a problem. If you're doing good, that means I'm doing good, and vice versa. Three ingredients for a winning team. Three ingredients for a healthy church. Know the fundamentals. Discipline and caring for one another. Today, if you happen to watch the game, you're going to see two teams that have fully embraced these three ingredients. You're going to see incredible camaraderie. You're going to see connection. You're going to see love for one another. And you're going to see one team is going to win because it's the whole team that's going to win. It's not going to be half the team that wins. It's going to be the whole team, the whole organization. My prayer is that you'll fully embrace these same three ingredients. That as a team, we can accomplish everything that God has called us to accomplish. But we have to do it together. Amen? I want to show you guys, I want to close with a quick video because we are stronger together.
They say there is no I in team. They say that coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. And working together is a success. Together, we can serve our neighbor. Together, we can unify our community. Together, we can be light in the dark. Together, we can. We need each other. We rely on each other. We hold on to each other. Let's do this together.
You guys bow your heads. Lord God, I just pray that you will seal your word in our hearts right now. With every head bowed, I want to give you, first of all, an opportunity. If you've not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, you can do that today. You can make that decision. It's a conscious decision on our parts. The grace of God is available to all of us. The gift of eternal life is available to all of us. But it takes faith on our part. We must first believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And then we must reach out with our hands, if you will, to receive, to take in the gift that God has made available to us. So if you're here today and you are wanting to make that decision, either for the first time or if it's a time of rededicating your life, you can say yes to Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you just lift your hand right now just to indicate that you're wanting to make that decision today? Hallelujah. Next, I want to ask you, we've talked about three different things today, three ingredients, three important things for our lives, knowing the fundamentals. Do you know the Word of God? Have you made an effort? Do you know the five purposes of the church? Where are you at in terms of discipline or self-control? And what about caring for one another? Are you focused on yourself? Do you struggle with connection? But whatever it might be, if God is speaking to you, if God has put something on your heart and you realize that there's something that needs to change, there's something that needs to, you need to make some adjustments as far as your life, now is the time to say yes to the Lord. Now is the time to make some decisions in regards to the things that you heard. And so if that's you, if you feel that God has been speaking to you about something that God's challenged you to do, if God has brought conviction upon your heart or whatever it might be, would you just lift your hand right now as well? Amen. 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 Whatever that might be between you and the Lord, I just want to give you a moment. Just between you and Him. Father God, you've seen all the hands that have been raised today. Lord, you hear every prayer right now. God, I just pray that you will extend your grace, your mercy, your goodness, God. I pray you'll extend your power to each one, Lord. that whatever it is, that whatever adjustment that you're calling us to do, that God, that you would empower us to be able to accomplish it. I pray, Father, that you will help all of us grow, become more that you desire to see in our lives, God. We just thank you. We praise you, Lord. We know that apart from you, we can do nothing. And so, God, we thank you in advance, knowing that you are the one that is going to help us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give God praise?